I'd like to focus our attention for a moment or two on just one sentence, really, from the Scriptures. It's from John's Gospel, chapter 1, famous 18th verse. I wonder how well you know it. John 1, 18. I'm going to take it from the Revised Standard Version, which I think is just fractionally closer, as far as I can understand, to the Greek original. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known. That's my Christmas text for you. I'll read it again. John 1, 18. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known. John 1, 18. I suppose you could say that when you meet with a clergyman, asking that clergyman difficult questions, perhaps about the faith and about God, it's one of the things that is to be expected. Sometimes at social events, people find out I'm a clergyman. Well, then I find myself often being asked questions. One of the questions I've been asked, I suppose, is this. Can you say that Jesus is God? It's quite a good question, but maybe it's asked the wrong way round. As ordinary people, reading people, we know quite a lot about Jesus Christ. We know when He lived. We know how He died. We know what He taught. We know about the most important things that He ever did. We know something of what He at least believed He had to do and how He believed He had to do it. But do we know enough about God to ask the question intelligently, can we say that Jesus is God? When people ask the question, is Jesus God, they tend to assume that we know who God is. So their question really means, can you fit Jesus into your God picture? Today, it's a sort of do-it-yourself kind of God, a designer God that people like to have. People say, often on television, I like to think of God as, in other words, they have already devised that God. Some people's view of God only resembles an identikit portrait, a picture that's been stuck together from a variety of different sources and viewpoints, stuck together from faulty Sunday school lessons, from unbelieving RE teachers at school, from bizarre television presenters, from eccentrics at the edge of the church. And we should ask ourselves, is our picture of God the picture He has Himself supplied us with? Some people see God in a pantheistic way. He's conceived of as the God of the river and the rocks and the ocean, the God of the soil, the stones. Such a God is very, very near to us, but oh, what a tiny God He is. Some people think of God as very great, transcendent, huge, immutable, majestic, all-encompassing. He is very great, but oh, how distant, how inaccessible He is. I can't get near Him. It's the truth and event of Christmas, of the great God coming to us as a tangible human that brings the great God of all the universe within reach, without shrinking Him. That to me is the miracle of Christmas. In point of fact, we couldn't know off the top of our heads exactly what God is like, but we discover Him by looking at Jesus. You could say that at the heart of the Christian faith is the view Not that Jesus is more or less like God or part of God, but the being we refer to as God was and is fully discoverable in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's a massive idea. So we need to start off with the God that Jesus knew about, the God that Jesus meditated upon in the Hebrew scriptures that he knew so well, the passionate and compassionate God. What might that God look like? Well, that God is big enough to be the creator of the world, but he's also tender enough to have a care for those young birds. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he hears the cry of his people when they're in slavery and in exile. And if you start off with this God and say, what might that God look like if he was to become human? Then the life, the birth, the lifestyle, the service, and particularly the death of Jesus of Nazareth might show the true God as a human being, or in traditional Christian language, as God incarnate. That's a God with a human face, the face of Jesus of Nazareth, the most clearly recognizable God that we could possibly have when he dies upon the cross, sharing and bearing the weight of the world's evil and pain. And the true God then isn't a sort of vague, beneficial gas somewhere up there. He wears a human face crowned with thorns, whom we shall worship in the communion tonight. And the closer we get to the original Jesus, to the storytelling Jesus, the healing Jesus, the welcoming Jesus, the Jesus who declared God's judgment on those who rejected the way of peace and justice, the closer we come to that Jesus, the closer we are to recognizing the face of the living God. Living as I used to years ago in Africa, I've been to the Nile, and I've also been to the source of the Nile, Lake Victoria. I wonder if you have been there. Long before people in this part of the world had discovered Lake Victoria, they knew it existed. They knew it. They knew it existed because of the mighty Nile. They thought this gigantic river that flows down through Africa, it comes from some enormous reservoir. Let's find the reservoir. In the same sort of way, when we look at Jesus, when the contemporaries of Jesus looked at him, they saw the things he did, they heard the things that he spoke, they listened to the claims that he made, they said to themselves, what lies behind this person? Who is this person who's forgiving sins? Who is this person who's allowing people to worship him? Who is this person who claims to be the one who administers the judgment at the end of the world? Who is he? Ultimately, the answer came back. This is God incarnate. This is God in human form. That's what the incarnation is. That's what Christmas is. No one has ever seen God. Just like Lake Victoria. And yet, the claim was, the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. The Jews had many different symbols which spoke of their God, the Creator and the living God coming to dwell in their midst and to rescue and save them. They believed that the divine wisdom, the Logos, something was there, and that he'd come to live among his people to point them in the right way. Jesus acted and taught as if he was that very person. And it's up to people, when they meet with Christ, to say to themselves, who is he? And if he is whom he seems to be, then what claim does he have upon my life? So if somebody asks me, or if somebody asks you, was Jesus God? Isn't it a good idea to turn the question round and say, is it true that the living God was uniquely and personally present in Jesus Christ of Nazareth? And once you've come to an answer to that question, It can't remain just as an abstract theory anymore. Because if you say no to it, then you're saying that Jesus was deluded, or at best a tragic and noble failure, at worst a cheat and a deceiver. You aren't staying neutral at that point. You're looking at Jesus of Nazareth and saying he was deeply, deeply mistaken. But if you say yes to that question, then you're committing yourself to a journey, an adventure of exploration into God through exploring Jesus, his life, his birth, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming back at the end of the world to wipe up and finalize the affairs of history. And that journey, that exploration, can't be private, can't be self-centered. You can't just do it at night school. And also, if you're doing it, then you start to get concerned, as Robbie Langford was reminding us in our prayers just now, about the very people that Jesus came to help. The poor, the afflicted, the people on the edge of society. Jesus came to help them. We must too be aware of them and be involved. So when we explore the question about Jesus and God, we discover another question. What might it look like today if people were captivated by the spirit of this Jesus Christ? We have to explore him. We have to explore him. There was a girl in another country, outside of this country, where the Christian faith was not the dominating faith. She was of another culture and background. One day she was awakened to her own need of pardon and forgiveness through a vision that she had of Christ. She didn't know who this person was, but she had a vision. She saw this person in her vision. And then, when she recollected and thought about it, she thought, who are the people who can tell me who this person is? She thought of the Christian people down the road she knew. She went to see them. And she said, could you please show me a picture, a portrait of your Jesus? And they said, why? Oh, because I want to see if your portrait, your picture, matches up with the person I've seen in my vision. Now, what would you have done if you'd been asked that question? The people did not go to a picture book. Not at all. They said, oh yes, there's a portrait all right. If you read these stories, it'll show you the portrait of Jesus. Read it. Read John's Gospel. Read Luke's Gospel. Every day, for a month, see how you get on and tell us. She did just that. She read and read and read. At the end of the month, she came back and she said, yes, the very person I've been reading about is the person I saw in the vision. I'm now committed to him. So I want to say to all of us on this Christmas Eve, how can we know God? What does the text say? Make it your Christmas text, would you? No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. If that is true, and I believe it to be true, I believe hundreds of us here believe it to be true, let us act upon it. Let us go to those scriptures straight away. Has Christmas run out of steam a little bit for you? Lost some of its shine, its attractiveness? It's only because you've lost the picture of Jesus a bit. Come back to those supposedly ancient documents. Read them. Every day. A bit every day. Right through 1997. Start tonight. Start tomorrow morning. Start with Luke's Gospel. Do it a bit every day. Maybe a chapter a day. Well, you say, I'm not sure that you can do that. You read the paper, do it with the Bible, every day, right through 1997, and see if within a month the picture of Jesus Christ has not dramatically improved. And in improving, will have immeasurably increased
your own conception of who Almighty God is. And therefore, help you to be at peace with this world, even though you may be at full stretch, even though you may be surrounded by many problems, even though there may be a whole mass of things that you have to struggle to get on top of every day in your life. But the center will be intact, your view, your vision of God in Jesus Christ. There's the text. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. Ask about the scriptures if you don't know too much about them. Come to one of us at some point. Ask. We'll help. We'll help if we can. What a text for such a night.